to prepare for a fresh anointing from God. I'm talking about a new anointing. I'm talking about God just taking you into a new level in Him. I believe for that. I really know that that is where He's taking this church. He talked to me about that yesterday, and it was confirmed as Pastor Janine came in to me today and said, God is preparing us for a fresh anointing, a new anointing. And if you want to know something, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let every word be confirmed. God wants us to prepare for a new anointing today, a new anointing, a fresh fire from heaven. I'm going to be speaking on that in a few minutes. I'm going to be talking about how God prepares us for that and what's involved with that. I believe today is a very, very miraculous day, but keep in mind this, that the Lord said He's just going to plow the ground this Sunday, but next Sunday is going to be a healing and miracle service for everyone. And He wants you to bring family, friends, loved ones. He wants you to just call your friends on the phone and say, this is a time for miracles. This is a time for healing. Come. And God will do miraculous signs and wonders, healing broken hearts and broken bodies. This Sunday, we're going to be preparing for that. This Sunday, we're going to be asking the Holy Spirit to prepare us and to revive our hearts. And next Sunday will be the culmination of the healing and miracle service. And so you need to prepare your heart this week for what God's doing. And I'll teach you on that this morning, okay? I'll prepare you so that you can be prepared for that. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you right now for your love. You may be seated. God wants you to hear this precious song before Pastor Tom comes forward. The song he put upon my heart yesterday, it's a song that I wrote actually. The psalmist David says, deep calls unto deep. Deep calls unto deep. And God says, with a broken heart, sometimes we come to the Lord with brokenness inside. And God alone can know how to heal that. But if we ask Him to, we say, Lord, revive me and take away that hurt inside, God will do that. And so I'm going to sing to you this song just to prepare you today for what God wants to do. And as the Holy Spirit just comes to me, I may just touch you very softly. And as I touch you very softly, God's saying He's going to do a new work in your life. He's going to do a new work in your heart. He's going to take the broken spots and heal them. Father God, I thank you for your love. Just let the Lord love you right now. Just let Him speak to your heart. Because there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that He can't do. Surely I am the Lord your God, the God of all flesh. Cry unto me, I will rescue thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? God's going to do a new work in your heart. In your life, hopefully. God is calling us. Can we listen? Can we listen? Let's listen to Him. Oh, my child, can't you see that I love you? I love you. I love you. I love you. God's calling you into His destiny. He's going to do a new work in your heart these Easter Sundays. Thank you. This is a miracle. God's going to do some work in you these next two Sundays. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tom, God's going to do a deep work in your heart. Tracy, deep work. Amanda, Ariana, a deep work. Hallelujah. God is calling you. He's calling out to you. He's going to do a deep work in your heart. Showing you his love. God's going to do a deep work in your heart, honey. He's going to show you how much he loves you. God's got a great plan for you. He's got some destiny for you that you haven't even dreamed of yet. There's big things prepared. Call unto me, the Lord says. Right now, let's call unto him, and he will show us great and mighty things. Just call. Call on that name, Jesus. 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 Call upon him. Father, we worship you. Let's all just continue to worship him right now. Lift up our hands and worship him. Hallelujah. Opal, the Lord is going to begin to show you things to come today. He's going to show you. He's even now showing you things to come. He's showing you things to come. He's showing you family members healed. He's showing you that. He says, don't give up. Just don't give up. Because the Lord is with you. Don't give up. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things, things that you have not yet seen. Call unto me, the Lord says. Call unto me, and I will rescue thee, and show you great and mighty things. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things. I will show you my love, I'll show you my mercy, I'll be to you your salvation. I will show you my love, show you my mercy, I'll be to you your salvation. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things. I will show you my love, I'll show you my mercy, I'll be to you your salvation. Call unto me, I will answer thee, show you great and mighty things. God, we worship you right now. We call unto you, Lord, asking you to show us mighty things, things that we've not yet seen, things inside of us, Lord, that we've not yet understood. God, we thank you that we will understand your love better after today. Your unconditional love for us, that you don't love us because of the way we perform and what we do, but you love us because you just love us. You've just chosen us. We believe that. We put our faith and our confidence in the love that you have for us. And we thank you that our confident assurance is that you have called us, that you delight in us. Each of us, you see, has an internal dialogue, an inner conversation that's usually always going on in us. In fact, sometimes we talk more to ourselves than we do to anyone else. And we've got to remember that the way we talk to ourselves needs to be the way God thinks about us. And so today what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a few minutes and just teach you about that, okay? I'd like to show you about that. And then in the close of the service, we'll take up the offering. But I want to do something right now. I want to continue in this flow because there's a move of His Spirit that I don't want to quench. And I'm asking you just to turn with me in the Bible to Psalm 139, okay? Take this, and I know it may not be on the overhead, but the Lord is giving me this scripture right now. It's just right from His heart. It's Psalm 139, and I want to start by reading this to you so you understand and you prepare for a new anointing. Psalm 139, and it's verse 13. It says, "For you have formed me in my inner parts. You formed my inner parts, O Lord. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O Lord. My soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written. The days were fashioned for me already, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O Lord." In other words, God's thinking about us all the time. He's thinking about us. Pastor Tom, is there a possible way I could connect with the other thing? Okay, I'm just going to take a few minutes here. And I want you to reflect on that, okay? As I do this, as I put on this other microphone, I want you to reflect on that one scripture that I just read. The Lord says, God is always thinking about us. Okay? God is always thinking about us. He's always thinking about us. And you say, yeah, I know, He's probably thinking bad things about me. No, that's the thing that we need to change today. That's the area that needs to be reformed. God is not thinking evil thoughts. He's thinking loving thoughts of you. He's thinking good thoughts of you, thoughts of a preferred future. You see, that's where things begin to change in our life. That's how things begin to change. When we begin to reflect, on the fact that God is thinking good thoughts about us, that God has a future and a hope for us. And so today, I've brought along something that I want to teach on today about how we can prepare for a new anointing, how we prepare for the new fresh move that God wants to bring into our lives. And today I'm going to be speaking to you a little bit out of this parable, but then I'm going to talk to you a little bit more from, you know, the Psalms. But in Luke chapter 5, there's a very important parable here that I'd like to go through. God wants us to change. But in order for us to change, there's a little bit of a ringing. I don't know if you can take that out. In order to prepare for a new anointing, He's calling us today to do what this parable says. That's good. That's great. I can really hear that now. It says this, and I'm going to read it. It says, "Then Jesus spoke a parable to them." Okay? That's where I'm going to pick up right now, the beginning of this message. Okay? "Then Jesus," it says, "spoke a parable to them, saying, no one puts a piece from a new garment onto an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine would burst and the wineskins would be spilled and the wineskins would be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved." And so that's the scripture that I'd like to radically change our thinking with today, okay? That's the scripture. Because God is requiring change of us, change in our lifestyles, change in our attitude, a fresh anointing in our ministry and in our relationship. And the radical change that God wants to do in us is going to affect everybody around us. This is what He says. It's going to affect everyone. It's going to affect everyone around us. Some like change and some don't. But whether we know it or not, and whether we like it or not, God is requiring change of us. And we've got to move into that fresh new anointing. God's asking us to prepare our hearts for this change today. It's a good thing that we can look forward to. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And often, sometimes, like the wineskin, we get stiff, we get starchy, we get legalistic, and God wants us to grow in the knowledge of one most important thing, and that is His grace. And so what is necessary is an oil change. Everybody say, I'm going to get an oil change today. I'm going to get an oil change, as they say in the South, oil. Okay, I'm going to get an oil change today. Fresh relationship, fresh fellowship with God produces that. Fresh fellowship with God. You see, the major problem that exists in Christianity is so many of us have so many things to do, so many places to go, so many people to see, so many things to do that we haven't acknowledged the one person that can change us. And we haven't gotten into that place of safety, that protection, that holy place. When we get into that holy place, that place of sanctification, that sanctuary with God, everything changes. So He's asking us to come into that place. Look back upon your day and think about yesterday, what you did. Think about it. What did you do all yesterday? It seemed important at the time. But how many of you spent time soaking in the presence of God? Soaking in the presence of God. Soaking in the presence of God. Okay? In order to prepare, like that wineskin, sometimes the wineskins, and it can happen every day, literally, where your wineskin can get stiff, starchy. It can get, filled with anxiety and fear. And you know what can happen? When our heart gets that way, the Bible says He wants to send us the Comforter. Hallelujah. He wants to send us the Comforter. Okay? He's asking us to receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Bible, new wine represents a new move of God's Spirit or a fresh outpouring of an anointing. It's the anointing that makes the difference. We cannot do anything without the anointing. It's a fresh move of the anointing. It's for a specific purpose in that plan of God. Now, sometimes our old wineskins get starchy. And so the process for healing, the process for miracles, the process for deliverance is that this old wineskin gets, first of all, soaked in water. Have you ever heard people say, I'm going to a soaking session? You know what that is? That's a time of real healing where you soak in the love of God. Because this world is so nasty, and this world is so negative, and this world can try to control our mind so we think that God's not for us, He's against us, or nothing good's going to happen to us. That negative is over and over again, out there, or putting the devil's trying to tell us those kind of things about ourselves. But what we have to remember is that without this cleansing, when the new wineskin comes and it's softened by the water, it's able to receive the miracle of God or that wine of God. So what do we do? How do we prepare for this new anointing that God wants to do this morning and next Sunday? Without His cleansing, we build up walls of resistance and unbelief. Okay, it keeps us from receiving the flow of the Holy Spirit. So these wineskins were literally soaked in water, and then they were rubbed with oil to bring flexibility back. And that fresh oil is the anointing. Now, the anointing means to rub. Isn't that neat? It means to rub. So God comes over us and just, he puts his hand upon us and he rubs us. And he says, I'm for you, not against you. I'm with you. I love you. I see good things. I see hopeful things for you. You see, the anointing means, you know, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. The anointing is when you have a gift and God begins to rub that gift with his presence. Have you ever heard someone sing, and maybe they sang beautifully and they were right on key, but it just didn't have a presence to it? It just didn't have something that made you want to listen to it? Okay? That's a gift without the anointing. On the same token, have you ever heard someone sing and maybe they were a little bit off key, or maybe they weren't quite right and it didn't sound real good, but you wanted to listen to it because it was like going right in your heart, something was happening to you? That's called the anointing. And literally, my voice had a change in it. When I was a young girl, I just sang, you know, I loved to sing. I sang, you know, songs, sweet little songs, and I have recordings, actually, of when my voice was before God came upon it with the anointing. It was just a nice little voice. It just sounded sweet. But then I remember the day when I was in Bible college. I walked up to the teacher and I said, I want to sing. I want to sing with the anointing because I heard her voice and something in her witnessed to me. That voice sounded beautiful. It was just probably the same as many voices out there. But there was something that made me want to listen to her voice. And I asked myself, what is it? And the Lord said, it's the Spirit of God that's anointed her voice. And so I went up to the altar, and I sat under her and her teaching, and I sat under her anointing. And when she put her hands upon me, and I prayed for that anointing, I received it, and I fell down on the ground. And I never forget this. I came up different. I sang different. When I sang, and Tom has the before and after sounds. Before, when I was in Joy Incorporated, I was singing, traveling the nation, just singing some songs. I have a recording of me then, but then I have a recording afterwards when we began to sing and the anointing was on there, and it was altogether different. So I tell people all the time that it's the anointing that makes a difference in our life. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit. And I don't think you know, most people don't understand this, but I think most people live life without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They just live life out of their gift. They just go to work just doing their gift and thinking it's, you know, it's something in there. It's a gift in me, and I'm just gonna do it. And you know what? Eventually, you'll end up like I did, tired out, worn out, a real mess, big bag of mess, because I was trying in my own strength to use my gifts. But when God anointed my voice, I would sing and I could feel the presence of angels around me when I sang. I could feel God's Spirit around me. I could literally feel myself being lifted up. And I really believe this, that most Christians feel that that's just allocated for the singers or the teachers or the prophets or the pastors or whatever, those that are in fivefold ministry. But no, it's not. The anointing of God, the new anointing upon your life, and that new anointing that God wants to give you is for you in the workplace. It's for you on the job. It's for you with the children. It's for you with your husband, with your wife. It's that anointing that God is going to give you to be able to apply it outside of Sunday morning, and perhaps maybe Monday is the more important day than Sunday, because Sunday is the day that you receive, but Monday is the day that you give out that anointing to other people. Monday is that day that you walk in the gifts that God has given you, whether they be administration, or whether it be decorating, or whether it be cooking or cleaning. We don't recognize the fact that we're not just to use our gift, we're to ask and need and depend upon the Holy Spirit to anoint our gift,
to anoint our job, to anoint our calling, to anoint what we do on our in the marketplace. You see, the fresh anointing from heaven will restore your joy back to you. It'll give you a blessing so that when you come into God's presence, I'm telling you, this is so valuable. It's so valuable that before you go to work, you sit there in God's presence and receive his love. You receive his love. You receive a fresh anointing. His mercies are new every morning. You receive his mercy for that day. You see yourself walking in heavenly places with God, that your steps are ordered of God, and that he delights in you. But no, most of us get up in the morning, and half the time we're struggling with so much condemnation that we can't make it through the day because of the condemnation, because of the thoughts of not feeling good enough and not, you know, feeling like we can accomplish this task or this job or that we don't know what to do. You know, in the Bible times, these skins were used as containers for liquid. And over a period of time, these skins would dry out. They become hard. So they were dipped in the water, then rubbed with oil. But if they weren't processed in that way, they wouldn't be able to be new. So what I want to help you understand today, and this is kind of funny, but I thought about it like this. We are Christians. Yes, we are. We're called by his name. But we're leaky Christians. It's a funny thought, but the thought occurred to me many times that we're leaky Christians because we need that fresh anointing. We need that fresh flow of the Holy Spirit. And the way we do that is to sit in God's presence and soak in his love. To soak it in. Because somehow or another through the affairs of life, it's leaked. You know, we've leaked. And some of that knowledge of his mercy has leaked out of us. It does. It does through the affairs of life, through the world. And through our busyness and through all of the labors that we do, you know, through extending ourselves to other people and through our jobs, we all work hard at what we do, okay? Every one of you work hard at what you do. But the thing about it is that the anointing doesn't come through our working. The anointing comes through our believing. The anointing comes through our believing. We can't work our way into a new anointing. That doesn't work. We believe for that fresh anointing through trusting God to handle our life, through trusting God to cut off our enemies, like the Psalms David said, and to receive an infilling of that fresh mercy of God, the love of God. It's the love of God that causes doubt to flee. Unbelief causes us to leak. Doubt causes us to leak. Tiredness causes us to leak. But what is important is we understand that even as leaky Christians, even as the fact that that water leaks out of us, we need to sit and soak it up again every day, fresh. That mercy every day. You say, yeah, well, I made some mistakes. Yeah, well, the mercy is new every morning. You got it? Yeah, well, my husband, or yeah, but my wife, or yeah, but my daughter feel this way about me. Yeah, but God's mercy is new every morning. Yeah, but God's mercy is there. Yeah, but God loves me unconditionally. If we as believers could continue to think about that, literally soak in the unconditional love of God, one of the most beautiful things in the Bible is that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Soak that one in. Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to deserve his love. His love is unconditional. It's very hard to comprehend this love because we're so accustomed to having to earn or to work for everything. But God, who is rich in mercy, He is rich in mercy. His real revolutionary love is the most intense thing that we could ever experience. It is the only thing that can satisfy us. It is. It's the only thing that can fully satisfy us deep inside. That unconditional love that God has for us draws others to Him. And in 1 John 3:17, it says, if anyone has the world's goods and see his brother and fellow believer in need and closes his heart of compassion, how can the love of God remain in him? So each time we bask or soak literally in that water, the water cleanses us like that wineskin. It cleanses us of the filth, of all that doubt, unbelief, and most of all, I'm going to say this, most of all, guilt and condemnation. Guilt and condemnation, they're killers. They choke the life out of us. Each time we act to improve the life of another person, it's beautiful, but how can we do that without really receiving that unconditional mercy of God? Human love finds it impossible to love unconditionally. It's always wanting to get back. It's always wanting to retort back, snap back, say something back. You know, human love, it is impossible without Jesus Christ to love freely. If someone who hurt you repeatedly over and over again, you know, if they repeatedly hurt you over and over again for years, what would you say to them? You wanna get back at them. You'd want to, you know, in the natural, your hope would be something bad would happen to them. But think about Christ, how many times we hurt him. But he never wants bad things for us. He never wants evil to happen to us, okay? Hopefully, we could respond with time the way Christ would to those that hate us or hurt us, and that we would want the love of Jesus to envelop them. True love is based on a decision. You know, forgiveness actually will reduce stress in your life. Human love depends on feelings, but God's love does not depend on feelings. It is a fact. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God loved us. While we were yet sinners, God loved us. He showed himself strong. So if we base anything that we feel about ourselves on anything other than God's love, we're outside of the freedom that God wants us to have. So remember this, mercy will always triumph over judgment. It's a glorious thing for someone to overlook an offense, isn't it? If someone has offended you, don't you think that it's a glorious thing to overlook an offense? But that's exactly what Christ does for us. That's exactly the way he looks at us. Christ would not embrace someone's sin, but God embraces the person and provides medicine, shelter, hope, care, kind words to help that person. For mercy cannot be earned. It cannot be deserved. It cannot. God's grace is unconditional. And as we soak that in, as we just worship him for his mercy, as we just worship him for his love, for the miracle of God's love, we worship him that he's merciful to us. We actually do what the Bible says in Colossians 3:14. We put on love. We put it on. Have you ever heard anyone say, they're just a put on, you know? Well, this is the one thing you can put on, all right? You can put on love, and it overcomes judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Grace always wins. Grace always wins. It always wins. So we have to put on that unconditional love. That love every day. Love doesn't walk away. Love stays with us. Love remains. You know, God will always meet our primary needs. But the thing that I'm asking you to understand is that God loves the drug addicts. God loves the hopeless, the homeless, the down and outers, those that don't have a chance. Yesterday, we were in Chicago ministering at a large women's meeting, and I had an opportunity to minister to, like, they were at least five to seven men there also. And there was a young man in the front row, and he came, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me about him and said he has a calling. He has a calling that hasn't been finished yet. And his mom told me after the service that Monday she had talked to him. He said, "Monday, Mom, Monday I want to commit suicide." And God had a word for him, a word that God wasn't finished with him yet, that God had a calling upon his life that he was supposed to finish. And so we have to understand that, you know, God loves us. God's dream for us is great and mighty. And loving people doesn't mean that we allow them to continue in their sin. God doesn't want us to continue in our sin, but he does give us the grace and the mercy and the love to get out of our sin. How do we get out of anything unless we receive God's love? How do we know anything unless God gives us hope? Now these three things remain, the Bible says, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is mercy. Because when you know God's love, that confidence, and you have confidence in his unconditional love for you, you become like David. David knew that he made mistakes, but he also knew that God loved him. And he was confident that God would forgive him. He was confident that he could move forward and that the things and the mistakes of the past, God would turn around and make them into something beautiful and turn them around into something fantastic that would be useful for his glory and you're good, you see? That's the way your mistakes can be turned around into miracles, because he takes what was even evil or what was meant for evil and turn us around for good. So that's why we can say, when we're in the middle of a situation where we've made a mistake, you can say, well, God's going to turn this around for good somehow. You see, that confidence that we have in God's mercy continues to help us to move forward, because each of us has this internal dialogue, this conversation that's going on every day in our mind telling us that we're no good, telling us that we're not enough. We don't match up. We're not like so-and-so, and we don't have enough of this, and we don't have enough of this. And all these negative thoughts, they have to be taken authority over. They have to be put down, okay? So my question for you is, what do you meditate on? Those positive thoughts, those empowering thoughts, those affirming thoughts are very important to your life. They are very important to your health. You know, telling yourself things like, I'm not attractive, I'm not talented, I've made so many mistakes, you know, there's no hope. All these things, I'm sure God's displeased with me. That kind of negative talk that rolls around in our minds sometimes, the truth is this, that none of that is true. None of that is true. Because you'll always be amazed at how much more you can accomplish in your mind and in your life if you remember that you can do all things through Jesus who strengthens you, that God delights in those that put their trust in him, not the people that are perfect. Remember the scripture that I read? Let's put that scripture up again, that one that I read in the beginning that we were quoting. I believe it's Psalm 137. Put that up there, because it's so important that we recognize, revive me, O Lord. It starts like that. Revive me, O Lord. God says, revive me, O Lord. Let me remember your unconditional love. And God, your unconditional love will fight my enemies. I'm gonna read that right now. If it's not up, that's okay. I'll read it out, because isn't this neat? This is Grandma Wilkie's Bible, by the way. Don't you love this? This is Grandma Wilkie's Bible. This is the one that she always read from, and I asked the Lord if I could have this. I asked her, and she gave it to me before she passed. And I just love this Bible because it's got so many cool things underlined. Psalm 1. I'm going to read it here. Psalm 147. Yeah, here it is. Psalm 1. Do you have it up? There it is. 147. For the Lord delights in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Do you want to delight the Lord? This is a radical thought, everyone, but I want you to hear this. You don't have to do everything right to delight the Lord. Sometimes we get the feeling like, oh, I just blew it. I guess I just blew it. I just made a mistake. I guess I'm not a delight to the Lord. But see, that scripture right there says quite the contrary. It says, no, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Hallelujah. Now, I read a study a long time ago where researchers gave a test to college students, and I want you to hear this. This is the way our mind needs to be changed and can be changed to meditate upon his unfailing love. Some special eyeglasses that turned everything upside down were given to college students, and totally the opposite of what it should be or look like. They would see everything upside down. So for the first few days of the experiment, confusion reigned, and the students stumbled over the furniture. You know, they could not read, they could not write. But slowly, they started adjusting. And by the end of the week, it only took 1 week, they were able to go to class on their own. They didn't need any help. And after one of the students had totally adapted and was able to even write or read, their minds actually had compensated. All of their minds had compensated for the upside down world, and they could read at the end of 2 weeks with no problem. Writing, doing the computer, everything. They could do it all upside down. Now, something similar happens to us. Because if we go around with wrong, worried attitudes and thoughts of negativity, that God is against us, that he doesn't love us, our face starts to show it. Our attitude starts to show it. We get anxious. We get worried. We get upset. You know, well, I'm not a good person. Well, I can't do this right. Over and over, our mind keeps meditating, I can't get this, or I better get this. You know, instead, what we need to be thinking about when problems occur is that, oh, God's going to use this for my good. Your world may be upside down right now. You may be living very low, below your potential. But remember this, that your internal dialogue is the most important thing that you have. Christ within you. Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Don't listen to the voices that are pulling you down. Learn, and this is a process, learn to put that voice down when you hear that voice. Something bad about you. There's something bad about you. There's something bad. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. The reason why I know how to do this is because I was there. This was my problem. Oh, man, it was so bad that I was so condemning of myself that I was afraid of people, okay? And I was even afraid of ministry. After a while, you get afraid of mystery because you get afraid that you're not going to do something right and someone's going to hurt you again, okay? So don't listen to those voices that are pulling you down. Learn to put on that new recording in your mind and tell yourself this, I'm forgiven, I'm restored, that God hears my cries, God has a good plan, a new plan, and God has good things in store. Say that out loud. I'm forgiven, God has my life in his hands, God has new plans for me. Good things are in store. Man, if we could think that all the time. I'm forgiven. You know, when we make a mistake, we say, I'm forgiven. God forgives me. God's forgiven me. I'm restored. Good things are in store for me. I know people who live with a black cloud following them. It's this vague feeling, and I know I had it. That's why I can identify. When I start to get a little bit depressed, if that ever happens, I always know right away, I can immediately home in on what that is. It's that negative thought. It's that hopeless thought of something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. And I immediately put it down. It's a vague feeling that, you know, you're never going to be happy. Nothing ever good is going to happen. You might as well forget it. All day long, we need to tell ourselves, this internal thing inside of us needs to say, something good is going to happen to me because God is pleased with me. God is pleased with me. Can you say that? God is pleased with me. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. As you acknowledge those good things that are in you in Christ Jesus, the best is yet to come. You can overcome any obstacle that's thrown your way. It doesn't matter if it's the worst report. Someone comes and tells you, you know, your job is gone. Okay? You can say, God has good things for me because he loves me. God has good things. You say, how can I do that? It's because God wants you to. That makes him happy. That is a delight to him. As that scripture, let's put that up on the overhead again, Rachel, okay? That is a delight to him. That causes him to delight. It says, no, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Okay, you lost your job. I'm going to hope in God's unfailing love. Okay, you may have had a bad report. Your health is failing. I'm going to hope in God's unfailing love. I'm not going to listen to those voices that are defeating me. I'm not going to listen to those voices that are eternally calling me into a place of condemnation. Huh. It's called an abomination of condemnation. That's what it is. It's an abomination to God. And amen. Some of you need to say amen to that because that's a good word. Because that is an abomination when you condemn yourself or when you condemn others. Because do you know what? God is not condemning anybody. He freely gives us all good things to enjoy. You know, growing up, I had really good parents. I had one wonderful life, but I struggled with this attitude throughout my life. And I realized that I had to change my thinking because the Bible said in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, how can any two walk together unless they're in agreement? So how can we walk together with God if we're thinking that God's against us? You see what I'm saying? How can any two walk together unless they be agreed? So I'm the one that's got to change. I'm the one that has to start thinking differently. And as that study said, you can do it. You can do it, just like the college students. You can retrain your mind to think good thoughts by saying, I'm going to pull that one down and I'm going to replace it with God's mercy. God loves me. God's thinking of me. His thoughts are always towards me, filling me with hope. You know, before life changes, our attitudes need to change. I used to think God wanted to break through and do good things for me until I realized, wait a second, he already did. He already did good things for me. What am I thinking about? Am I reflecting on those good things that God has done for me? Am I remembering that he thinks of me highly? That he already thinks of me highly? He's already died on the cross for me. He's already given me all the blessings, the Bible says, to enjoy freely. He's blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I mean, let's change our thinking right now, our believing, okay? Okay, so if he has blessed me with every spiritual thing in heavenly places, then bam, when something wrong happens, what are you thinking? You want to draw back. Bam, something bad happens. Wait a second. If he has blessed me with all good things, then this may appear to be evil, but God is going to turn it around for good. It appears to be evil, all right? But if he has blessed me with all spiritual blessings, then I can say, okay, God's going to turn this around for good. And it won't faze you. It won't make you fall off the throne. it'll keep you on the throne with Christ, seated in heavenly places, okay? So, praise God. This is what happens when we understand righteousness. Do you know that Jesus is our righteousness? And saying something good is going to happen to me is like saying, Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus, I'm never going to give up on that. I'm never going to give up on that. Don't ever give up on your children. Don't ever give up on your spouse. Don't ever give up on your job. Don't ever give up, because God says that His unfailing love is what's going to carry you through. Hallelujah. His unfailing love is going to carry you through. Now, the key to being positive in negative circumstances is to do what I'm going to lead you in just a few minutes, okay? It's called the replacement theory. Replacing the negative thoughts with the positive thoughts. And what we do is, when we're in a position, hallelujah, this is it. When we're in a position, we want to receive that fresh anointing from God and move into something brand new, we have to soak in that love that God has for us. Soak it in. Like the wineskin that needs to be dipped in water, we soak in the presence of God. And so what you do is you remember that it's not right doing that makes you positive. It's right believing. Jesus buried my old man. My old man doesn't have to resurrect itself. Hallelujah. Okay? The doctor may say the report is bad, but God says, but I have healed you. The people may not favor you. They may not want what you want, but God favors you. And God says, I will favor you and turn those wicked things around for good. Those wicked reports will be turned around for good. You are important to God. You don't know how valuable you are to God until you begin to really think about it a lot. I mean, really just think about it. You may say, well, that sounds egotistical. No, it's not. It's not egotistical, it's the truth. God loves me. And if you let Him love you, if you let Him come upon you, if you let Him soak you in His love like He wants to, oh, He wants to do that every minute of the day. If you let Him just soak that generous love inside of you, your whole being becomes filled with love. And then out of that love, you begin to be a jewel that sparkles like a crown. You sparkle to other people. You know, God wants us to sparkle. He wants us to see that. You know, how many of you are so tired of being sick and tired? Are you tired of being sick and tired? Then what you need is to rest. To rest in His love. Not get out all the religious paraphernalia. Okay. I'm gonna read the Bible more. I'm gonna pray more. I'm gonna juggle this. Okay, I was there, man. It was like I was juggling this. Okay, here I go. A little bit more Bible reading. Okay, no, that's not working. Okay, a little bit more prayer. Okay, a little bit more this, everything, every little bit more. And I'm juggling all these things, trying to find the answer. And in all my doings, God says, just be. Just be. Beloved. Just breathe. Now, today we're going to throw away our excuse bags, okay? Why we're not farther along in God. Because there's always something else to do, and there's always somewhere else to go, and there is always something exciting that scintillates our senses. But guess what? How can we say we're trusting God if we don't spend any time with Him? So, just be. Here I am, God. I'm just here with you.
I'm waiting and I'm expecting good things. I am. I'm waiting on God. You know, the series of bad things may have made you really numb to this world. You may be numb, but let me tell you this. I'm going to open up this altar right now because God is a God of justice. But unless we're expecting him to be a good God to us, he can't. Unless we're expecting it. Are we expecting God to be good to us? Are we, no, there's that little thing that in our spirit, I didn't do this right, or this didn't happen just the way it was supposed to. I don't know if God's going to do a miracle for me. You know what? That's the reason why you don't have the miracle. So we have to let that evil conscience go. And so what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to open up the altar and I'd like to call unto the Lord, all right? Because what we're going to do for the next half hour is just stay in his presence. This is a fresh new anointing. This is something brand new. And I want to just ask that you would either make this your seat where you get alone with God or the altar where you get alone with God. But we're going to just stay in God's presence until you hear that voice, until you hear that voice, and that voice is going to speak to you and say, I am pleased with you. Until you hear that voice, don't leave that place of worship. Until you hear that voice. And this is going to be an indication to you that God's heart beats for you. His heart beats for you. His heart is for you. Okay? He's calling out for you. So I'm going to ask that you would find a place of real relaxed place, a very relaxed place where you can just rejoice, where you can hear his voice, where you can come into his presence with thanksgiving. But I want you to hear him speak to you, because if you ask him to, he will do this. And we're going to ask God right now, Lord, speak to our hearts. Revive us, O Lord. Help us to hear this and be set free from condemnation, because condemnation is what's going to leave right now. All condemnation is going to leave you. Every bit of it. Condemnation is going to leave. Hallelujah. Jesus, right now, we're seated with him. Worshiping him, worshiping him, worshiping him. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I exalt you, Lord, with my that voice, that sweet, sweet voice. expecting me to be good to you? I will, if you expect it. Are you expecting me to be kind to you? I will, if you expect it. If you put your trust in me, I'm expecting you to do this today, because I can respond when you believe. I want you to tell yourself every day that you are the apple of my eye. I want you to tell yourself every day that you are a prized possession of me, that I have crowned you with glory and honor. I want you to tell yourself every day that you are blessed. I want you to tell yourself that I will draw near to you as you draw near to me, because I draw near to you right now. I draw near to you. The Father is going to do miracles. He's going to do miracles in our heart, but he wants us to prepare right now for this new anointing, this brand new anointing. It's a fresh anointing. So we're going to stay in his presence. We're going to worship him. Just worship him today. God's voice speaking to you. As soon as you hear his voice saying, I love you, and you hear it personally, I love you, I want you to stand up. And we're going to stay here in the presence of God until everyone hears that personal word, that voice from God that says, I love you. When you hear that voice, when you hear him speak to you and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I want you to stand up. When you hear him speak that to you, you stand up. And we're just going to continue to worship the Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Oh, your God, I'm giving you a future and a hope. When you hear his voice saying, hope in me, trust in me, stand up. Because God is going to do a miracle in your heart. When you hear that voice, when you hear his voice and he says, I love you, put your hope in me and expect great things. God's going to begin that work. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. But it's going to begin today. Prepare for that new anointing. Prepare right now. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Father, in the name of Jesus, I dispel all condemnation over the hearts and minds of every person right now in Jesus' name. I command spirits of darkness, spirits of condemnation to leave in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit of doubt, every spirit of unbelief to leave right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that you speak to each person individually, telling them that they are loved. Telling them that you love them, that you believe in them, that you have good things for them, that you are planning and you are doing good things, and that those things will happen to them. Father, I thank you right now. Prepare for that new anointing by faith. Prepare for that and just stand and believe. When God speaks, he's going to speak. Just wait for him, but he will speak to your heart. He will. He will say, I love you. I will overshadow every bit of darkness. Just wait. Just wait upon him, because he will do that. Hallelujah. He will do that. He will say that to you. We exalt thee. We exalt. As he speaks to you, stand at the altar. Hallelujah. I will show you great and mighty things I will show you great and mighty things. The Lord's beginning to show me some great and mighty things. The Lord is asking you to call unto him right now. Call unto him, and he will show you great and mighty things. And when he speaks to you, just stand up and make your way to the altar. When he speaks to you, stand up and make your way to the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make your way to the altar. As he speaks to you and tells you that he loves you, just stand at the altar. Hallelujah. He will show you his love. He will show you his mercy. He will show you great and mighty things. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Father, I thank you for the miracle of your love. Hallelujah. The miracle of your love. God is showing you his love. When he speaks to you, stand up. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, show you great and mighty things. Call unto me, I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things. I will show you my love. I will answer thee with great and mighty things. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things. I will show you my love. I'll show you my mercy. I'll be to thee your salvation. Call unto me, and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things. The Lord is taking you right now into your future. He's showing you your future. Great and mighty things. He's showing you your future. God has good things. God has good things for you. I'll show you what they are. I'll be to you your salvation. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show I'll be to you your salvation. I will show you my love. Be to you salvation. Be to you salvation. Oh, salvation. salvation. It is salvation. Jesus, thank you that you are our salvation. Jesus, we hear your voice. We hear your voice. Condemning thoughts are leaving right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus' name. Call unto me. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are our salvation. Call unto me, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands right now in the presence of the Lord. Continue to hear that voice. And when you hear his voice speaking to you, just stand up. When you hear his words speaking to you, continue to stand. Just stand for others that are still hearing that. Father, we thank you. Come as close as you want. Come as close as you want, Lord. Come as close as you want to each and every person right now. Come as close as you want, Lord. Take away every bit of doubt, every bit of unbelief, Lord. Take it away, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now that the spirits of condemnation are leaving. In the name of Jesus, come as close as you want, Lord. Come as close as you want to each individual, Lord, right now. Father, we worship you. 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 Hallelujah. Pastor Janine, do you have the oil? For those that are standing at the altar, God wants to anoint with oil right now. The anointing of oil upon you. The anointing of oil. He's going to anoint you with oil, for he's washed you with the water of his word, and now he will anoint you with oil. Some of you may be experiencing this week and others next week, but God wants you to understand that the anointing is here. It's going to overshadow you. And Father, I thank you for that anointing. Pastor Tom, if you come forward too, we're going to pray. Pastor Tom will pray for the gentlemen. Pastor Janine will pray for the ladies, and we're going to anoint you with fresh oil. Hallelujah. I know there's oil in that room in there. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We worship you.
Jesus.
and I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. Hallelujah. The simplest of all love songs, I want to sing to you. And I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll stand in awe of you. Jesus, I love you. And I'll let my words be few. Because I know you love me, Lord. So much. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your love. Oh, worship God. Let's worship God together, all of us. Lord, we worship you, Lord. We're seated with you, Lord God, resting in your love, resting in your plans. Yes. And I stand.
Fresh anointing upon each person today, Lord. Prepare for that new anointing, the Lord says. Prepare for it. Prepare for it because it's coming upon you. Prepare for that new anointing. Prepare for it. Hallelujah. Prepare for all the good things that He has planned for you. Prepare and say, something good is going to happen to me because I put my trust in God's unfailing love. I trust in Him. His mercy endures forever. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit. Amen. It's by His Spirit. And I stand. Jesus.
He tells it to you right back. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I stand.
You're not worthy. Christ is your righteousness. Christ is your righteousness. Christ is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. The Bible says that. He is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. He clothes you with a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. He clothes you. He says he's pleased with you and he delights in you. His anointing, amen, it breaks every chain, every yoke of bondage, breaks every chain. Jesus, we stand in awe of you. Jesus.
for those words. Hallelujah. I'm sensing God is healing many people right now. Physical healings are happening. Healings, physical healings in bodies. I'm sensing that right now. God is healing people. Just receive that. Stay in His presence right now and receive that from Him. He is doing that. I can feel it. Right now, there's people being healed all over this sanctuary. Hallelujah.
Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. I was lost. I was in chains. Covered with blame, till you came my way. I couldn't run from His presence. Couldn't run from His arms. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me.
Receive the offering. I just want you to understand, next week we'll be continuing this, so please invite family, friends to minister the healing of the brokenhearted. It's a very powerful ministry, and God wants to do it in many people's lives. So spread the word, okay? And bring relatives or friends, because I will be speaking